grateful. Chair, members of the panel, good afternoon. As the inquiry knows, I represent several institutions in this case study, but for the purpose of these submissions, I will focus primarily on Downside Abbey and School. In his closing comments to the inquiry, the current Prior Administrator, Dom Leo Medlow Davis, thanked the victims and survivors from Downside who had spoken and said that what he and his community in particular needed to do is to listen to them with the ear of the heart. That phrase comes from the opening of the prologue to the Rule of St. Benedict. It was the most apt of phrases in this context and reflected the depth and sincerity with which members of Downside have approached this case study and their willingness to learn from it. Dom Leo also described the process of this case study as being informative and challenging. Perhaps one of the key pieces of information that has come out of the process is that the inquiry has identified that during the last 65 years or so, there have been allegations of child sexual abuse as defined by the inquiry made against 12 monks at Downside Abbey, 12 lay teachers and 3 lay members of staff. These resulted in the convictions of 2 monks and 1 lay member of staff and the cautioning of 1 monk. Those statistics are, of course, shameful, and members of Downside Abbey and representatives from Downside School have unequivocally apologised to all victims and survivors of child sexual abuse perpetrated by those associated with Downside. But it's important to look beyond those figures for 2 reasons. First, because the children who suffered in such a terrible way must be remembered and treated as individuals, not simply statistics. Downside recognises and regrets that it has not done enough in the past to support and assist victims and survivors. It repeats its invitation made in my opening to any victim or survivor to contact the Abbey, the school, or the Abbot President in order that appropriate support and assistance may now be provided. The second reason is that the statistics in themselves don't show the significant improvement in safeguarding at Downside in recent years. The inquiry, of course, heard from Liam Ring, the current safeguarding coordinator for the Clifton Diocese, with which Downside is aligned. He's an experienced child protection police officer. As he put it, Downside School is now ahead of the game in some respects in relation to their safeguarding, and their risk assessment frameworks and other aspects of their approach to safeguarding would be the envy of some other schools. So far as the Abbey is concerned, on the other hand, both Mr. Ring and his predecessor described a sense of inertia. However, it's important to understand what he meant by that. He explained that he felt that it arose from the fact that a church setting may not provide people with the same history or background, which is the background that he had as a professional person steeped in safeguarding. And as a result, he felt that the people in the church setting were, as he put it, more reflective about taking actions or taking advice. He also rightly recognised, we say, that part of the reason was that the management of alleged perpetrators is very difficult. And that difficulty in the church environment mirrors that, as he pointed out, in the secular society. Again, as Mr. Ring put it, Downside Abbey needs to be better still. In order to do that, he identified the need for training, and he referred to the fact that he had recently completed a day's training with all the monks at Downside, which he said was well received and had a good input. He also felt that to be better still, training and safeguarding needs to become an everyday part of business. The inquiry heard from Dom Leo that the monks at Downside have been receiving briefings every night at Chapter on what's been happening in this inquiry. And it's Dom Leo's intention that the issue of safeguarding continues to be raised in the same way on a regular basis following the conclusion of this hearing. He also intends to make safeguarding a standing item on the Prior's Council agenda, in addition to the Compliance Trustees report, in order to assist in planning for improvements as well as assessing ongoing compliance. None of this is to suggest in any way that Downside Abbey or School is complacent. As the inquiry is aware, the Social Care Institute of Excellence has been commissioned to review and audit the Abbey and School safeguarding procedures, which process is due to commence in the week of the 5th of February 2018. We will be providing the inquiry with a copy of the report as soon as it's available. We will also be updating the inquiry on the review of the governance of the school and the relationship between the school and the Abbey. That process has been underway since June 2016. Although Dr. Whitehead will now be leaving the school, the Abbey is committed to ensuring that his successor is as dedicated to safeguarding as he has been. And Andrew Hobbs, who was described by Mr. Ring in these proceedings as utterly conscientious and determined to get it right in terms of safeguarding, will ensure continuity in his role as the designated safeguarding lead. Turning to the past, in our written closing statement, we will be setting out details of the facts in relation to Downside as they relate to the issues which the inquiry has determined and identified in the scope of investigation for this case study. I don't intend to propose to address those at any length today in the time available, but I would like to make five general points in relation to this case study and the wider investigation into the Roman Catholic Church. First, I would reiterate the general point that I made at the preliminary hearing on the 5th of October and at the closing of the case study in child migration earlier this year. That is, that in the absence of proper evidence, whether provided by an expert or on the basis of published and reliable research, as to the standards of the day at the time when alleged abuse took place, we say it's impossible for this inquiry to reach any fair or proper conclusion as to whether there was a failure to protect a child from sexual abuse or to respond adequately following an allegation of such. The inquiry solicitors have indicated in subsequent correspondence that in ascertaining the standards of the day, in other words, the legislative and regulatory framework, as well as societal understanding and attitudes, the inquiry will have in regard in particular to the Nolan and the Cumberland reports. We entirely accept that those reports will assist to some extent, but of course only from 2001 onwards, when the Nolan report was published. But the inquiry has identified allegations in relation to Downside Abbey and School going back to the 1950s. That leaves an evidential gap for some 50 years prior to Nolan. And our position is that this gives rise to a highly unsatisfactory position for all core participants. And the inquiry will recall Mr. Greenwood from Swetalski's position at the preliminary hearing was similar to ours in relation to this evidential gap. It cannot be in anyone's interest for the inquiry ultimately not to be able to reach fair and reasoned conclusions on whether particular institutes failed in their duty of care in respect to children for the majority of the time covered by this case study. We'd urge the inquiry to consider this issue, and we request that the chair make a formal decision in order that all core participants can understand the inquiry panel's position and the reasons for it. Secondly, and related to my first point, we would emphasise the importance of the inquiry, concentrating on the issues that it has posed for itself in the scope of investigation in relation to this case study. A number of witnesses have given evidence on matters that go far beyond those issues, for example, in relation to their views on diocesan matters. We don't criticise the witnesses at all for that, but we simply note that the inquiry hasn't yet asked for or heard any evidence from, for example, the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, in relation to the establishment of COPCA and CSAS and support for those bodies. It would not be right, we say, for this panel to make any findings of fact, particularly in relation to suggestions such as support, moral leadership or funding, in the absence of having heard from the people who can provide proper information on that point. Thirdly, whilst we recognise the importance of the inquiry in seeking to adopt a proportionate approach to the length of the hearing, it will, of course, be equally important for the inquiry to take into account all the relevant material that has been provided to it, both in the form of witness statements and disclosure. Not, of course, just that which was read out or said in the course of the last 3 weeks. And in our written closing statement, we'll endeavour to ensure that all such material is identified. Without a proper analysis of that material, we say there's a risk that the inquiry might take some of the more hyperbolic assertions or suggestions by some of the witnesses at face value without testing the reality of the situation. We have in mind, for example, the letters written by Dom Aidan to Dom Leo, which Dom Aidan explained were written at a time when he was upset and angry, and Dom Leo represented a somewhat emotional assessment of Dom Aidan's feelings at a time when he was struggling over his decision whether to stay or leave the community after many years. In particular, Dom Aidan never intended to suggest that there had been any active attempts to cover up abuse, as he told the inquiry. The inquiry must reach its own views based on the conduct of previous abbots and other individuals, based on the full information available to it, rather than place undue reliance on letters written in such difficult circumstances. Fourthly, we are conscious that a number of witnesses have been asked for their views on doctrinal matters, such as the sacrament of confession, in the context of questioning about mandatory reporting. We hope that their views have assisted the inquiry in this respect, of course, but we do submit it wouldn't be appropriate to reach any conclusions on this point without having heard from other senior members of the Catholic Church and other interested parties. Similarly, the English Benedictine congregation would welcome the opportunity to assist the inquiry further before any recommendations are made in relation to the EBC. As the evidence of Dom Richard made clear, there are a number of features of the constitution of the EBC and its constituent abbeys which may be highly relevant to the nature of any recommendations to be made, and upon which we recognise the inquiry may understandably still not be wholly familiar. As the inquiry is also aware, and as Mr. Enright pointed out at the preliminary hearing in June of this year, the EBC is in many ways not representative of other Catholic religious orders in England and Wales, and accordingly the extent to which findings in relation to the EBC could properly be extrapolated out to other religious orders or the Catholic Church more widely is somewhat limited. And the EBC and the Catholic Council established for the purposes of this inquiry would welcome the opportunity to assist the inquiry on this point in particular in due course. Finally, so far as the EBC is concerned, as the inquiry is aware, we propose to make submissions on its behalf following the completion of part two of the case study in relation to Ealing Abbey and possibly Worth and their associated schools. The inquiry will then be hearing evidence from the current Abbot President when he will assist with his views on current safeguarding arrangements and future changes. It would be premature for us at this stage to anticipate that evidence. He will be providing an overview in relation to each of the three or four abbeys from which the inquiry will have heard by that time. However, at this point I can say this on his behalf. He has attended every day of this hearing and listened to all the evidence and is wholly committed to maintaining the momentum of self-assessment and reflection that this hearing has generated within the EBC. And he looks forward to sharing his views and developments with you in due course. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to make this short statement.